Hi everyone, this is Dr. Bates. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a warning that in this episode we do discuss sexual assault, and this may be triggering to some people, and also it may not be the most appropriate episode for children. So if they're in the car, you might want to listen to a different episode. I hope you enjoy this interview with the wonderful Sheila Darcy. Here goes. Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Isla Bates. Welcome to the podcast, Healer, Heal Yourself, Reduce Burnout, Discover Your Creativity While You Heal Others. And today I have Sheila Darcy, who's going to talk about her path from the corporate world to being a full-time artist and healer. She's written the book Sketch by Sketch, A Creative Path to Emotional Healing and Transformation, of which I have a copy here. And she's also the founder of Sketch Poetic. So welcome, Sheila. Great to see
you
again.
Thank you so much. So good to see you again. I love that we're reconciling after all these years.
So good. Didn't we meet on Clubhouse? Is that how we first
met?
Yeah, we
did. I believe we met in Clubhouse, and then we did a podcast a few years ago. And a lot has happened for both of us since. So it's really cool to be able to share where things have kind of evolved.
Yes.
And where directionally I'm going now. It's a whole nother world.
Exactly. And for those of you who want to listen to our earlier podcast, you can certainly do that. And then you'll get some background information and see how the transformation has occurred. So Sheila, tell us a little bit about how you started sketching.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you mentioned Sketch Poetic. Sketch Poetic is not only my brand, but it's also the way I describe my methodology. It would have been almost 7 years ago, April 19th, 2017, I made a commitment to sketch daily. It was kind of inspired by The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron's book, where it was morning pages. But because I was trying to express my emotional, all the emotions that I had kind of been suppressing and the feelings that I didn't want to feel, I felt words were too challenging because I didn't know how I was feeling. And if I didn't know how I was feeling, I didn't necessarily want to talk about it. So I thought sketching would be a great way to do that. And I really did think of it as a purge. What I didn't expect, though, is that I would find my purpose and my mission of arts and healing through it. And Clubhouse was actually the time when I started doing arts and healing spaces. Mm-hmm. And then the evolution is, innocently, as I was doing this daily sketching weeks in, I had this epiphany, like, do people know art heals? It was such an innocent comment, like, do people know art heals? And then I thought, using my workshop background in the business world, because I've been in the corporate space for 20 something years as a facilitator, I started hosting workshops just to kind of feel it out and help people see what I saw. And in the process of it, I saw how it was clicking for other people. This idea that art could be used as a mental health tool. Hmm. And then it led me to my book, which you just held up, which is very kind of you. And now I made a leap this year to become a full-time artist, which was never, ever in my trajectory of what I thought I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I just really thought this was going to be a mental health tool.
Yeah.
But clearly when my purpose, I really just came back to who I've always been. I've always been an artist. I just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, amazing. So many thoughts I have right now.
You can relate as well.
Yes, I can totally relate. I think what's interesting is that you didn't consider yourself an artist and you resorted to sketching daily. And I think that, that's really interesting because sometimes we just can't find the words to describe how we're feeling. Mm-hmm. And art is a way of expressing ourselves. So tell me how you started, because a lot of people sketch, but they usually sketch something that they are looking at visually. But instead, yours are much more spontaneous and free. And tell me more about how that evolved.
No, I'm glad you asked. That's probably the number one question I get whenever somebody tries to leap into what I do. Mm-hmm. The very reason I call it sketching is in the art world, sketches are fast and loose. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, they're not seen. Mm-hmm. They're the thing that leads up to the masterpiece. And as a metaphor, I love that, right? It's fast and loose, never seen. It's the two things that tend to be resistance for artists. We take our time, we want it to be perfect, and we want it to be seen and accepted and loved and appreciated and valued and all this stuff we we put on being an artist. And that's one of the reasons I didn't call myself an artist, because I had all these labels of what I thought it meant. And I, in my book, I had a quote that said, art, being an artist for me was like wearing a crown I didn't feel deserving of. Mm-hmm. And it's because I had such reverence for it. Like all the artists I love, I'm like, I can't, I'm not that.
Exactly.
So imagine someone like me who had such a reverence for art. And as a child, I had a gift because I would win awards as a kid. I was definitely a gifted artist. Like I knew how to draw. Mm-hmm. But that was my baseline of what an artist was looking like, winning awards, getting affirmation. And so when I decided to sketch, and it was actually through a therapist, I was trying to address my fear of flying. And she said, do you have a healthy way to express your emotions? And I went, you know, as a kid, I drew, you know, but I did it to escape. And she said, have you ever thought of doing it to connect? And I thought, no, I didn't. So when I did the daily practice, to answer your question, is when I'm sketching, I don't think of it as a hands-down experience. I do think of it as an embodied practice. So I use my breath. I think about all the aches and pains in my body from the book, you know, How the Body Keeps Score with Dr. Bandico.
Yep.
And I really did think of it more from that perspective. I also thought about my brain and carving new neural pathways. Like I was really looking at it from a mental health, emotional health space. And what it did is it actually took a lot of expectations from what it looked like away. Secondly, I wasn't focused on what the outcome was. It wasn't like I was trying to sketch peace or sketch anxiety. I was sketching the feeling of it. And the analogy I give to people is when you're dancing joy or you're dancing grief, you aren't, it doesn't look a certain way, you're feeling it. And so for me, what my practice is the feeling of and creating in the feeling of whatever it is that I'm going through. That's why I say sketch through what you go through.
Yeah.
Because it's just a process. It's never about the outcome. Mm-hmm. So everything of mine is a stream of consciousness.
That's beautiful. I also see art as embodiment too. I mean, yeah. Because I think whatever's in the body gets reflected on the page.
And, 100%.
You know, so if you're tight and restricted, oftentimes your drawings are also going to be the same way, you know, so.
That's beautiful. That's a great example. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when you start to make meaning out of your sketches, which isn't the first part is just letting go. Mm-hmm. But when you start to make meaning of it, what you just said is exactly what happens. You notice the tightness, or you notice that it's bold and versus light. You notice, you know, that you're always starting in the center of the page, looking for balance, you know, all of those things. And then you start to become more free and more courageous in your marks that you're making.
Yeah.
And that starts to reflect externally too. So everything you're saying, it definitely feeds into the process.
Right. I mean, drawing really is just making marks.
It is.
And, you know, if you can write, you can draw. People just don't believe that, but it's true.
No. Because again, they are associating art and artist versus the process of creativity. And I call it artisan healing because I'm an advocate of the arts. Mm-hmm. So I love music, spoken word, dance. I think they're all beautiful expressions of creativity that allow you to release all that stuff that you've been holding on to, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So tell me more about the process, because you're now creating art on musical instruments, on walls.
Fashion.
Yeah. Tell me, you know, how all of this evolved.
I mean, we should start with, there's a couple of ways to answer that. The more practical way is as I sketch every day or create every day, I just want to have fun and explore. So I started changing my canvas. Like one minute I'm sketching on shoes, next minute I'm sketching on a person's body. Honestly, that is purely play. Like when I think about it, there's no deep meaning to that other than I just want to change it up.
Okay.
However, the depth of it changes depending on the canvas. Mm-hmm. So when I'm sketching a pair of shoes and I'm doing it for a person, I think about the person. So if I were sketching a pair of shoes for you, I would think about like, oh, I want her to feel a certain way when she's walking with these shoes. So then it kind of really permeates the mark making. Versus an instrument, if I'm doing it on a guitar, I usually listen to music like that is a guitar, like a guitar playing, and I let the sound of the guitar go through my body, like the resonance of it, and I allow it to reverberate in my mark making. So everything, the reason I believe I intuitively called what I do sketch poetic is everything I do feels very poetic. Mm. There's this beautiful I just look at it with such reverence that everything I do feels like I'm poetry in motion in the way I do it, in the way I see it. And it comes through in my art because every piece I do has some sort of resonance around this idea of synergy, of give and take, putting, you know, something coming in and then I'm putting it back out in the world. Something coming in from the world, coming, putting it back out. And it's just this beautiful cycle.
Sounds great. It's a spiritual experience.
It is. That's the best way to put it. It's a highly spiritual, soulful experience.
Yeah. And art is very spiritual. Tell me more about intuition.
It's a really good question. And definitely, I believe at the core of what I do, when you use art to address your mental health, what you realize is how often we disconnect and disassociate from who we are, whether it's our physical bodies or disassociate from the world we're living in because we're in survival mode. That's where a lot of trauma healing comes from, is we acknowledge that we're in survival and we're trying to learn how to not be in survival and then regulate and, you know, all of these things, because you're a doctor, you get all of this. Mm-hmm. But as an artist, it shows up differently, because what we end up doing is there's this judge and critic when we're creating that lives outside of us, that it starts as a young child, whether it's a teacher or a parent. And when we create, we have this judge and critic. And I sense that when I'm creating, what I'm really doing is coming back home to myself. And one of the things I've said to many people when I started Sketching Poetic is I was having a crisis of faith, just period. And you mentioned the spiritual aspect of what I do. Intuition is really listening to who you've always been. Mm. And that's why when I say transformation in the business world, transformation is bigger, better. Evolving into something else. It's the chrysalis to the butterfly. And that's not my definition of transformation in the creative process. Mm-hmm. What I'm learning is the more I create, the more conditions I remove, the more I tap into my ancestral energy and the gifts that I'm sure I inherited from someone in my lineage. And I see the world for what it is. And I'm using my intuition to just keep on going inward. And the deeper we go inward, the more we see everything reflected outside. So I noticed that my life was chaotic before I found Sketch Poetic, because inside of me, I was chaotic. Mm. I noticed the world outside of me felt like I couldn't be still, because inside I couldn't be still. And so what's happened is more and more I've become more centered, more grounded, even though the world is still chaotic. There are moments that, you know, cause friction with me and tension, but I'm feeling more and more centered in all of it. Like the peace and the calmness that, you know, evaded me my entire life has really been through my art. Art is my grounding.
It's your meditation, so to speak.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And intuition to me is just listening.
Yeah.
It's just listening to what your body and your mind and your spirit want to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you meditate as well, or do you consider your art the meditation?
I have started to meditate outside of art, but initially, no, my art was my meditation, because I did have a hard time quietening my mind. But now when I do my beach walks, I've been doing my beach walks, 2-hour beach walks, 5 days a week. And that is the other thing. That's my walking meditation.
I don't have
music going. I just listen to the ocean. I did that, but in all transparency, I did that during a very challenging time in my life when my book launched, something in my life personal that I, you know, don't want to publicly share.
Yeah.
But somebody I loved was going through a health crisis that put us front and center with mortality.
Yeah.
You know, so, and whenever death is at your doorway, really, it changes you.
It does.
And at the time that happened, I felt the call to walk at the beach, and I've lived in Venice Beach 21 years.
Yeah.
21 years, and I've never had the pull to go to the beach.
Wow.
Now it's the one place. It's like church to me. I still go to church every now and then, but the beach has become like my church. It's just the place that just feels so, like I give it to God, I give it to the universe, and I just allow myself to just receive. That's the word.
Yeah.
We don't receive enough. People like us that are caregivers or that are always trying to help others, we do a really poor job of receiving.
That's true.
The one place I receive fully. Mm.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, I love that. 2 hours walking along the beach sounds like heaven to me.
It is the closest thing to heaven I think I've ever found.
Yeah, that sounds great. And what's your normal routine? Like, what's it like for you? You wake up in the morning. What do you do? What's your ritual in the morning?
Yeah, well, not shocking. I do my morning sketch. Well, let's
in
be
bed,
real.
Do you
so the first thing I do is get up and I get my daughter, you know, I'm gonna make sure my daughter's ready. I take her to school.
Uh-huh.
And then when I get home, I either do the beach walk first or I do my morning sketch, one of the other. So some sort of meditative thing, or I choose to do my beach walk in the afternoon right after I pick up my daughter. So there's these two windows, right after I take my daughter to school and right after I pick her up, that I use as like my meditative, like bookends, I also mentioned prior to this, when before we started recording, that I started a part-time consulting job just to bring some income, because the life of an artist is not steady.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest thing. That's one thing we should talk about is I had this funny moment with my energy somatic healer teacher guide. And I said, I keep on, this had been 9 months into not working. Yeah. And I have worked full-time since I was 15.
Yeah.
Isla, 15, yeah. I've been working full-time.
Yeah.
So imagine you're used to getting a paycheck for 15, you know, since I was 15. And and then suddenly I don't have any money coming in. Mm-hmm. And so I said to her, I said, I keep on hearing and feeling like I should get a part-time job or a job. And she said, let me just take a moment. And she started laughing. She said, Sheila, your body needs you to get a job. Because she said, your body is in shock. It's not used to you not working. And so her answer was so intuitive, because while my mind, my spirit, emotionally, I was free as a bird. My body was like, holy crap, what is going on? She's a workforce. She's used to a paycheck. What is going on? And so she was absolutely right. The moment I got my part-time job, my body relaxed into it. Oh. It was almost like muscle memory. I had to share that because I thought the funniest thing ever. Like my body is screaming for you to get some stability. You need stability is what she said.
Interesting. I just got a chill.
Yeah. She said, your body is the one that's asking for you to get a job. She said, it's in shock. You need some sort of foundation. You're way too loose. Like you said, every day. Outside of those two bookends, I have no plans. I had no plans.
Yeah.
It was amazing, but at the same time, I've created a lot, but my body was not feeling it.
Yeah. I think I can relate to that, just because I've had so much freedom over the past 5 years. You know, I literally work very little when I want to. Yeah. And
but we worked so hard leading up to it.
Exactly.
So we needed to rest. I think we were restoring ourselves is what I like to think.
100%. I was restoring myself, connecting with my creativity, drawing more, painting, doing all the things that I love. And of course, you know, still volunteering a lot and doing a lot of, you know, the things that I really enjoy. And now I feel like I need to do a little bit more work.
Yeah, your body's,
my body's like,
go back to work.
Yeah. Do something.
I'm glad that resonated with you.
Totally resonated with me. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's the other, you asked about intuition earlier. This is another tangent, but related to what we said earlier.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes when we think of our intuition, we think about our third eye, our gut. What we don't realize is our body is highly intuitive. I never gave my body enough credit. I basically took it for granted because I was in survival mode for so long through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
My body just took the hit. It carried me, it protected me, and I just took it for granted. So when I started to embody and really get in my body and really sit in it, first of all, wow, very heavy. But secondly, I'm like, wow, my body really is trying to tell me things before my mind even knows it. You know, my back of my head will tingle, my lower back will get charged, my feet, like the little nuances in my body is triggered before my mind is even triggered. And I didn't realize how quickly my body was cueing in on things.
Mm.
And oftentimes it has to do with me. And so now my body is like a big rod of intuition, in my opinion. Like now I listen to my body and it has completely unlocked me.
Wow.
Completely, because I used to think of intuition as up here.
Yeah.
It's not. It's heart and it's our bodies. Our bodies are constantly talking to us.
Yeah. No,
powerful.
I know what that disconnect is like. I mean, I think because being a physician, the way we're trained is really to disconnect from our bodies and our bodily function. And so for many years, I was very disconnected and still have to work at it from my body.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. It's going to be a lifelong thing. It's a lifelong process. And we don't even know how unconsciously we are shutting down because the world, like everything that's happening in the world is affecting us in some way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The amount of anxiety that we all have, I mean, yeah. with wars going on and people yeah. dying. And now we have, you know, access to very graphic visual images that are yes. impacting us, our souls, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second, because there's another aspect of arts and healing or art heals that I didn't lean into mm-hmm. since our last podcast that I want to lean into today.
Sure.
So I've always talked about how it's helped me heal in the process of art. Mm-hmm. But what I'm learning is, as what you just said, right? When somebody looks at a piece of art, mm-hmm. they're moved, whether mm-hmm. they're conscious or unconscious of it, mm-hmm. just like imagery on social media. It's just a form of imagery. What if we invite ourselves to look at art that was created with the intention of healing and allow it to be receiving as a healing medicine? Medicine might be too strong of a word, but you get what I mean. Like if a piece of art was created to help this person heal, or help the world heal because that was the intention it was created in, mm. you actually receive it. And my recent show that I just did this past weekend, I had an interactive wall. Mm-hmm. And this wall was consistent in, again, keeping the person whose hands it was private. It followed this person's journey for 12 weeks in their healing. And every week I outlined their hand and I sketched not only how I was feeling for the person, this was someone I loved, but also what I was feeling from them. And you'll notice the emotional arc and energetic arc of that 12 weeks. And so the interactivity was, I asked people, please look at each one, each hand, as you progress through the 12 weeks, and stop at the one that just calls to you. Because there's something about that piece that's trying to help you see something about yourself. And then I invited them to put their hand up next to that hand and close their eyes and just allow to see what comes through and what they feel. That is healing.
Wow.
So it becomes where art becomes the medicine. Art becomes the catalyst. Art becomes the invitation to go inward. Yeah.
Yeah. Explain that to me again a little bit, because I think I missed something.
If you go to a museum,
right,
look it up.
I totally get what you're saying about that. The exchange, the healing exchange.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I didn't quite understand was the 12 weeks and the hands that mm-hmm. did you asked people to?
No, it was one person.
Oh, one person over 12 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, they went through a chemo, 12 weeks of chemotherapy.
Okay.
And I sat with that person for 12 weeks.
Oh, you sat with them. Okay.
And then I was in that. And this is where my earlier point that we spoke about, one of my hopes and visions, the larger visions, I plant a lot of seeds along the way. Mm. And one of the seeds I planted is I would love to see what I created this past weekend, where it's wellness activations and art living together as a portal for healing.
Yeah.
And it's either within a hospital setting or attached to a hospital, right, where if you're getting chemotherapy or you're having post-surgery recovery, that you can sit in a space like that rather than looking at a parking lot across the street, which is what I saw.
Wow.
You know, these chemo chairs were facing the window and all you saw was a parking lot. Like, nothing about that is healing.
That's not healing.
And also for the nurses and the doctors, I talked to a lot of them.
Yeah.
They were constantly traumatized. You know, that the yep. setting of hospitals is not only clinical. I get it. It's very clinical, but there's just the energy of it is not resonant for healing.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm trying to say, is that if you can change a space purely for the intention of it, of healing, you change the way you receive it.
Absolutely.
And so that's my vision, is I want to show that just by having somebody in a setting that is completely with the intention of helping them heal or process mm-hmm. whatever it is they're going through, it helps them.
It does.
It helps them. I saw it with the person I was with.
Yeah. Yeah. No, those anecdotal accounts are, you know, very significant, but there's also research to back this up as well. So even just having a picture of an outdoor scene in a room can make a difference in terms of healing, or having someone looking out of a window where they can see trees or flowers or gardens.
Yeah,
it can be extremely healing, and it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I went down this pathway because of the what you said about social media.
Mm.
We subconsciously and unconsciously consciously being bombarded with violent,
divisive
imagery.
Yes.
Divisive is the word.
Yes.
It is divisive in every way it could be divisive. So there's nothing about it that creates unity. And so that's what I'm saying. We got to balance what our children, more importantly, with their very delicate and influential places, the damage we're doing for those youth of what they're seeing on social media. And, you know, eating disorders are on the rise, suicides on the rise,
yes,
mental health issues are on the rise because they're being bombarded with imagery that is way too young for them to comprehend.
Yeah. And parents really don't have a lot of control over what kids see.
No, even if you tried, you really don't.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have control over what we see as well because, I know, if I'm scrolling on Instagram, something may pop up that I really don't want to see. There are a lot of images that I've seen recently that have been extremely disturbing to me, and I'm an adult. It's got to be even more disturbing to our children.
Yeah, and they don't know how disturbing, though. That's the sad part.
Yeah, and it also...
We have some sort of foundation. We have some sort of, I feel like, our generation.
Yeah.
Because we weren't raised with technology.
Yeah.
We do have a bit of a stronger foundation of some belief system or ethics and values. But they don't really don't.
They don't. Yeah. They don't.
It is really wild, wild west out there, content-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you have a teenager.
I do.
Yeah. How does that impact you? I mean,
impacts me greatly for the reasons we talked about. But interestingly, my daughter's a very introspective, shy thinker.
Yeah.
Very stoic. She's like my husband. And I'm very expressive. Like, you can pretty much tell how I'm feeling by looking at me, which makes it her really hard to read. And because she's in her head, we already know how dangerous it is in there.
Yeah.
That's where I was. And so,
yeah,
you know, it's so interesting. I think if I thought about it too much, I'd probably cry because as a parent, all you want to do as your parent is not only protect them, but you want to arm them that when they leave the nest, that they have everything that they need, the tools and resources they need to navigate the world in the best way possible.
Yeah.
But when you have a child that's so introspective in their head and is really hard to get them to talk, you're left with so much unknown, which is why I believe I'm the parent for her, because the more I've gone down the path of healing, the more comfortable I've become with the unknown.
Yes.
Because all life is the unknown, and that is what creates fear and anxiety. And that's what I was addressing with my daily sketching, was fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
And so the more I've sketched, the more I've become comfortable with the unknown. And so my daughter has a lot of unknowns that I just will never understand. He'll never be revealed, but I'm settled with it because I know that that's just life. Mm-hmm. But I think if I didn't go down this path of healing and address my mental health, I would not only be very helicopter mom right with her right now, I'd probably be alienating her because I'd be so worried. I'd be a worrywart is what would have happened. Mm-hmm. I would have been so worried about her that I would have suffocated her.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, because of my own path where I am, I've had to let go and trust that everything is as it should be. And I'll continue to do what I can, but I just don't have a strong hold of it like I know I would have had in the past had I not addressed my mental health.
Yeah. Well, none of us have control, right? And our kids.
Period. None of us do. But we like to think we do.
We like to think we do. And yeah, we can shape our children into, you know, what we want them to be. And that usually leads to a lot of unhappiness and a lot of anxiety, right? Which, keeps people like me in business, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Must be busy.
But I'm wondering, have you done any art with her?
I have.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting is, and you know this as a parent,
especially a parent. And my daughter wants to do nothing that I do, you know?
I don't even need to say it, girl.
Yeah. It's like,
I don't need to say it, even though she's an incredible artist.
Uh-huh.
She sees me going down this path. It is what it is. I think she loves it, but doesn't want to admit that she loves it too much because it's what I'm doing.
Yeah, of course.
That's natural. That'll change. But it makes me laugh.
That'll change for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, you were a little bit ahead of me on this one, so I'm glad to hear that it'll change. But she's a really gifted artist.
Yeah. Well, that's so good to know. I like the piece behind you.
Thank you.
If this is audio, no one can see it, but hopefully you'll send me some images and I can
post those
on Instagram so people can see. So what's your next project? Do you have anything in mind
it's a great question, thought. So when I did the Portal for Healing, which was my first solo show this past weekend, I also made a commitment to myself to really push myself as an artist. So the performative piece that I did, which I told you a little bit about, but for those listening, I did the glass window at the gallery, which is the very first thing you walk into. It's 8x10, was my canvas. And I invited people to interact with me, putting their hands on the glass. I outline their hand. And for 10 minutes, I just see what comes through. I don't call it channeling. I just say that it's my intuition and it's my process. And I do this for myself and I do it for others. But the reason I mentioned that to answer your question is because I've been wanting to do performative art because I want people to experience the process of what I do, not just what the outcome of what I do.
Nice.
Because if I focus on the outcome, it's really counter to what I'm doing. I really focus on the process and what's coming through and allowing it. So I'm looking at ways in which I could do more performative things. So recording when I'm doing it. Creating with movement. So one of the things I'd like to do is create with a dancer. And him and I haven't scheduled the date yet, but he and I have a shared trauma of the past around shame that has to do with our body and pleasure and all of that. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
But the idea is we're going to create together and have a bigger canvas. So, and we're going to record it and we're also going to talk about it. Talk about why this conversation matters, why it's necessary for people to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are things that, just to give you a teaser, that if you've ever had in the past sexual abuse or sexual, any sort of molestation,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of shame in the experience if you felt any pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'll just keep it there because it is counterintuitive to feel pleasure when somebody's violating you.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is, though, because of that, you shut down and you feel shame because you feel like, did I ask for that? Did I call that in?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just, it really messes with your mind. And so I had a candid conversation with him and we both cried because nobody talks about that part of it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because, and for a long time, you think your body is failing you because your body is supposed to not feel pleasure.
Right.
But the reality is, depending on the violator, that might be their intent is to do that. So I'm just giving you an example. So then how do you create a piece of art around this topic that can be very sensitive, but also very liberating when it's spoken out loud and create a piece that is so healing and beautiful to witness, but also very expressive and allows you to just get it out of you. So that's the piece. So these are the types of things I want to do more of. It's more storytelling, performative, but is healing. In the fact that it's going to be out there to help for others
interactive.
To be able to connect.
Yeah. A very long time ago, I read a book, and I can't remember the author's name. I think it was called Against Rape.
Yeah.
Have you read that?
No, I haven't, but can you tell me more about the book?
But she does talk about that aspect of, you know, feeling something pleasurable while you're being violated.
Yeah. It's a disconnect.
It is a disconnect. Yeah. Yeah.
And what I didn't, and I'm glad we're talking about it. It's the first time I've publicly spoken about this topic, but I feel very passionate about these types of conversations because in my somatic healing work, when I was working on being in my body, this is what came through in my therapy, my somatic therapy, is that my entire time I'm thinking my body was failing me. And when the entire time my body was reacting the way it was reacting because the person that was violating me was trying to give me pleasure. Mm-hmm. So my body was actually doing the very thing it was meant to do. But my mind is saying, this is not meant to be pleasurable, be something violated.
Right.
So it's this disconnect. So then now you've taught your mind and your body to resist each other because it's not reacting the way you think it's meant to react. When really your body is actually reacting the exact way it's meant to react. So this one epiphany that happened last year in my healing journey, I've started saying these things to people publicly with friends. And I see their reaction and they just, it liberates them. So like, it's a sturdy little secret nobody wants to talk about. But the reality is we're all public. There's so many of us that had this experience where it wasn't all like, you know, violating and painful and violent. Some of it wasn't. And
especially
so
if you're a child. Especially if you were a child. Yeah.
So this is heavy stuff for anybody listening. Hopefully it didn't trigger you, but at the same time, I hope it didn't. If anything, it inspired you to hear it because you're not alone in it and your body isn't betraying you at all. Your body's doing exactly what it was meant to do. That was such a liberating thing to hear from me. You know?
No, that's important. It's important. Somebody probably needed to hear that.
I believe so. I definitely needed to hear it. And I've been passing it on since.
I always ask, you know, what's your definition of creativity? Would you like to share your definition?
My definition of creativity is when we let go to our natural birthright, expressing who we are fully. It's it's really when you're in full alignment, creativity is born. When you allow yourself to just not to let go to who you've always been. I just believe everybody is creative. And it's just letting go to who you are.
Yeah.
And that could be, you know, you could be an accountant. And you, in the way you think about a problem, that's creative, right? It doesn't have to look like an artistic expression. But I do think that people have just such a dogma around what creativity is because there's a reverence around it. And our society likes to put godlike statuses on people. And, you know, the traditional art world is no different. It is really hard for an artist to break through with the traditional art world when it's so bourgeois. Right. There's so many people that are telling you this is art, this isn't art. And by the way, my path is very non-traditional. There's nothing I'm doing that has been traditional and I continue to not be traditional. I'm going to be penetrating that art world, whether they like it or not, but not because I'm trying to, it's because people like me have to exist because art can look like this.
Absolutely.
Period. This is just another pathway for artists to follow.
Art is an expression and we all can express ourselves and it can heal. That's for sure. Well, thank you so much, Sheila, for sharing with us today. It was great talking with you.
I didn't expect to cover the topics we did, but I know that it was all intuitively guided.
that's right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And it's always great to see you.
Good to see you too. Hi there. If you enjoyed this episode of Healer Heal Yourself, Reduce Burnout, Discover Your Creativity While You Heal Others, please be sure to leave a review. Leaving a review helps us to spread the word about creativity in healthcare and inspire those who may be struggling with burnout, who want to do things creatively but just don't know where to start. So if you know somebody who might be interested in creativity in medicine or just creativity in general, share this episode with them or any of the others. And please write a review. I'd love to hear from you and love your comments. Thank you so much. And we'll be talking again soon. Bye now.